Hello world, this is the Origami Vancast. I am your host, Steve Coleman. In today's episode, I'm going to describe my accident in detail, the motorcycle accident I had in 2001. I have been asked to warn the listener that some of these descriptions are quite graphic. Listener discretion is advised. All rights reserved. Steve Coleman and the Origami Vancast.
All right. Tim Waltner, I hope you're proud. As I started working more and more in the telecom bubble, during the telecom bubble, I stopped being able to go rock climbing. So, you know, I started mountain biking because you didn't have to go nearly as far. So I would go out and mountain bike, you know, for a few hours here and there and fit that in between work and school. But, you know, I was not getting to be outside very much. So then I got the bright idea, like, hey, if I bought a motorcycle, you know, I'd be able to get fresh air to and from work. And then go out around lunch, you know, and go carve up the only corner in town or something like that or whatever. I mean, you know, those are the thoughts of a 23-year-old or whatever, 22-year-old, 21. So I eventually got an R1, and as you know, work got more and more intense, I had less and less time to actually ride the motorcycle and more time to put it up on a pedestal and, you know, put things on it, trick it out. So eventually it was all the way, like, slammed, tricked out. Well, not slammed, but, you know, it had a Kropovich pipe, it had, you know, titanium carburetor needles and all sorts of crazy Penske suspension, front and back. Well, valves up front, but anyway. Cool bike. I still couldn't ride it. I went out to Southern California, learned how to ride the bike, burned off a couple sets of tires on Mount Palomar, endangering entire communities. Should not have done that, but I did, and I came back and I put the bike in the garage. I was enrolled in Keith Code's schools, which is the only reason why I had to race tires out in California in the first place. I actually had to go into Van Nuys, I believe it was, and buy them directly at the school, so which was cool. You know, I got two pairs of GP Stars. Those are freaking awesome race tires, man. So when I brought them back to the campus, you know, I mean, they had the sides all burned off and everything, but they still had the little pokey dots in the middle from the injection process. They were that new. They just, you just don't burn them off on Palomar when you're just leaned over all the time. Anyway, wow, what a place. What memories. So almost died there a few times, not on Palomar, but on the way there, very high speed. You know, I couldn't, so I was an adrenaline junkie, I guess, you know, and definitely the motorcycle gives you that. So that day, when I got back, I rode the bike to school because I could park right next to the class that I was in at a particular class. It was pretty cool. It was a rare thing to have a class in this building. In fact, I'm just having a flashback to my experience with Stacy the other day of the area. Anyway, it's changed a great deal. Cool parking lot, though. Anyways, I left that class and went on the only curve in town out by Airport Road, and had to get back to work for the first time. I'd been gone for a week. I came around a corner, lost control. I don't know if I'd aired up the tires or what, but one person that I spoke to briefly, I believe, from the airport, told me he thought that I hit the throttle hard, which, I don't know, Maybe I was playing around and I've blacked it out. I probably have. But I can't, in my own mind, admit seeing that. I just know that it went into a tank slapper when I stood it up straight. And so it spit my hands off, and it spit my feet off. And so I'm like, no hands, no feet, with this motorcycle going back and forth between my legs, like going crazy. And it kind of straightened out right as I went into the grass. And now, I don't know if you've ever been in the grass on a race bike or on a motorcycle, but let me tell you that the contact patch of the rubber on a motorcycle race tire is about probably one or two blades of grass wide. Your tire sticks to the blade of grass, awesome. It's great. The blade of grass doesn't stick to the grass under it or anything else very well. And it's quite slippery. If you put a race bike into grass, it's like ice. So I was able to get my hands back on right as I entered the grass, which was a gently sloping ditch that went into, you know, this Oklahoma washes alongside the road. Not bad. It was grassy the whole way, pretty much. There was an intersecting ditch that was the drain for the airport. This is a small airport, so it's not super huge, but it was quite, you know, it was probably 14 feet square, let's say. You know, it was bigger than 10 by 10. Maybe it was 10 by 10, but it felt bigger. Anyway, I missed it by a few inches with the tire. We saw the tire marks when I came back with my father and my wife, then wife. Pretty much as soon as I got out of the hospital. In fact, I believe it was. We drove directly there. So I rode through the ditch. I didn't exactly have control of the motorcycle, per se. I mean, this is a ditch. I'm on an R1, and even Penske suspension can't eat up a ditch, you know, at however fast I was going, at least 55. And that I looked down before I stood the bike up, out of the turn, and I was probably doing something like 70 indicated, and so I was geared and everything, so I was slower than that. Anyway, eventually the ditch intersected. There was a driveway that went across it to the entrance to a local ball field, and when I hit that, I don't know exactly what happened. The entire process was far, far, far too fast. I didn't even know that the thing was coming. I couldn't see it because I was barely able to maintain. This was like riding a bucking the mechanical bull in the bar set on infinity. You're going to get spit off. You know, I mean, the only reason why it was, you know, the gas tank was smashing me in the balls and the handlebars, you know, smashed my legs and stuff. It beat me to death. And then it catapulted me whenever I hit that driveway. It's a gravel drive. And the acceleration was like nothing I've ever felt before or since. You know, it was just, frankly, something that I don't think we're supposed to be put through. I got shot 30 feet vertically. There's some power lines that cross there that I'm just estimating the height, but it was quite high. It was high enough where kind of the first I became aware of what was maybe going to happen. I mean, I didn't know I was going to hit the poles or anything until I had it right in my face. But I was so far above them, I couldn't see them, you know, from that aspect and everything anyway. But as I flew straight up in the air, the poles were over and back. I got twisted around backwards and launched up all crooked. And I remember looking over my shoulder going, oh man, I am so high in the air. This is going to hurt bad. But I didn't really account for the fact that I was still going, you know, 55 miles an hour or whatever, you know, straight forward. And so I flew over the ditch and over a few telephone poles. But eventually I intersected about the ground and the pole at the same time with my left shoulder. And so there'll be parts here that I haven't, you know, spoken about before and haven't described in this kind of detail. just because of the flashbacks and everything involved. So as my shoulder loaded up onto the pole, you know, my body and everything begins to curl, but the ground is there. And so my body, you know, compresses, and eventually my left shoulder and my left hip are against the pole together, inside basically the flange of my helmet, like the jaw. So I'm all compressed like that, and then I gave the pole a good old heave-ho. Now I'm also intersecting the ground and stuff, and I don't really want to describe to you what went on kind of inside my body. I don't really have the words for it, and I can't really access that right now. But there were distortions of things that occurred in this scenario that I'm about to describe to you that I don't have the capability to describe. Right now, anyways, maybe ever, I don't know. But I certainly don't have the vocabulary for it. So, anyway, that's the main thing that I remember, because what happened after that was so incredibly fast and disorienting, and just, you know, I saw the pole coming, I loaded up on it as my body all gets piled up and begins to transfer energy into the pole, and I kind of feel like the pole's beginning to give way and lean forward, and I'm like, yeah, then all hell breaks loose. Okay, now it gets serious. The poles are a fence, they're telephone poles that are used as a fence barrier to, you know, to control traffic. And they're connected with a wire rope about the, you know, bigger than my thumb. And so that rope kind of catches me or whatever, and I get flung around the first pole, but sucked along this rope. And I'm spinning, and the second pull struck me mostly in the right kidney and liver from behind, and some in the left. And then, you know, this is one of those things where, like, the distortion that occurred and the what happened to my liver, whatever it was, the damage that was incurred there was that was extraordinarily painful. And it really kind of, like, stunned me. And I should have stuck to that pole, I guess. Like, if I wasn't in a leather jacket and jeans and racing boots and racing gloves, I don't know. I mean, I should have had it. If I had a back protector on, maybe my liver would have. Probably not. I don't know. It's hard to say. I shouldn't have been riding the way I was, and I'm lucky I lived to pay the price. So, yeah, second pull. All distorted. My tissues and bones and everything were pretty distorted there too. But there was so much pain that I didn't see a lot of what happened next. I remember getting zipped down the wire, and I guess it hit me in the jaw. There was a big deep gouge in the helmet afterward. But yeah, so this is the third pull. I don't remember much about it other than and I still had the liver pain and all that, whatever. But it kind of, like, knocked me out, whatever. And then when I woke up, my head's all smashed into the gravel, and it's kind of like when I woke up in the bathtub off of fentanyl. It's like I wasn't conscious, right? And then my face is all smashed into the gravel, and then it's like, what the fuck? Everything's rotating, you know? Everything's just, like, it's it's weird. It would make a cool camera shot, just as far as the perception that came available. So, it turned out that I was being smashed by a 55-gallon drum that I then started rolling with. And we were rolling over each other inside the parking lot now. And I don't know how many revolutions we went around, but it was like some kind of cartoon. It was, I'm not saying it was many. Maybe it was one. But it felt like three or four. Certainly, I very much continued rolling very hard afterwards, and so did the barrel. Now, I believe the police report says that I then struck a large telephone pole from the transmission lines that are there. And I don't, if that's true, I don't remember it, but I don't know. I just remember rolling and rolling, rolling, like barrel rolling, back out into the ditch. I must have gone back underneath the fence, I guess. You know, that's not wide enough to get a car through. It's narrower than a car. So what are they, probably 8 feet apart? Maybe, I don't know. It seemed like they're further apart than that, but that maybe. Anyway. Let me stretch here. Ow! If you heard that pop. Ooh! Nice. Ow! And a bunch of other ones. All right. So, yeah, I'm hitting poles. All right, so I roll and I roll and I roll and I roll. I'm barrel rolling. And I come to a stop face up on my back. And I don't quite remember it, but they told me. I went to the guy that I'll tell you about in just a second. He worked at a FedEx facility, and he told me that I had the no parking sign from the first pole that I hit in my hands. I was clutching it, and certainly, or maybe that was the police officer, the investigating officer, one of those two. So I come to a stop and basically cannot believe what just happened to me. Like, I was in an amount of pain that I thought for sure you would not be able to be conscious in. Like, okay, my idea of level pain before was nothing like this amount of level 10 pain. So I was just making a noise, I couldn't do anything else. I was overloaded. It was intense. So what I've come to learn about myself anyways is that I don't think I was going to pass out until, I don't think my body would let me pass out until it thought that I was either done or safe. Or at least someone had seen it. And I was kind of in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't know if anyone had seen it. I didn't know for sure. So this person came up, Good Samaritan came up from across from the FedEx facility, and he found that my helmet was all in disarray about my head because I had just recently been in an accident. He felt like I was choking on the strap, the noise that I was making. He thought I was choking. So he reached down and undid the helmet. And they called the paramedics, who were there very soon. They took me to the local hospital, who found that I had damage to my liver, was their main concern. But they were dealing with some other crises to the point where they did think, certain people in the hospital anyways thought maybe it was a drill. Eventually I got metaflighted from Stillwater to Oklahoma City, to St. Anthony Hospital in Oklahoma City, where I had a trauma team waiting for me. The significant part about this time period is they kept me in quite a lot of pain. They were afraid that I was going to die from my injuries to my liver. And I was very lightly sedated. The helicopter ride, it's the only helicopter I've ever been on. I always wanted to ride on one, and now I never do again. It was, I don't know if it's how they strapped me in or just the angle that damn thing flew at or whatever, but I was, man, you don't want to be metaflighted if you're, that was really bad. I gotta collect myself a little bit. I'm sorry, I haven't really accessed that memory in a while. When I landed, in addition to a pretty large trauma team, my mom and my sister and my brother were there. To my dismay, I found that I had a catheter. I don't know when they put it in. They brought me in, and so I don't probably remember things in the proper order, and I know that I don't remember much. But my leg was broken in two places, my lower leg, so the tibia and the fibula were both broken and the bones exposed. They were like green twig type fractures. Pretty gnarly. It really hurt my knee. It hurt. My liver hurt. My fascia everywhere. I didn't know this at the time, and they told me that it was referred pain from my liver. But my fascia everywhere hurt. Which should surprise no one. Let's turn the heat off here. Sorry, I'm repositioning. So, you know, this was before Easter weekend, I believe. Heck, it may have been Good Friday. Probably was. I kept wanting to pass out during this time period, and they really discouraged it in the nicest possible way, but they wanted me to fight and stay awake, and I really, really did not want to. And to be honest, what I was thinking, there was some communication between my body and my mind. I don't know how to explain it, but maybe this is when it began. I don't know. But I think my body did not believe, or maybe my conscience did not believe that anyone could survive what just happened. It did not compute. And they were like, you know, you're a smart guy, you're a tough guy, and you can do this. And I thought back to, you know, other successes I'd had in my life, and I'll tell you, in extreme situations. And I convinced myself, yeah, we can do this. I'll do this. And I really feel like my body was saying that, no, you can't do this. Maybe it was my conscience. Maybe I have them confused, as I've had my joints and my fascia confused all this time. We'll get to that at some point. But eventually, I convinced myself that I can do this. I convinced my body that, no, we'll figure out a way to get better from this. We'll pay attention. We'll take good care of ourselves afterwards. But I didn't. But I think my body remembered that promise. And every time I tried to dull the pain with whatever sham treatment of my freaking symptoms was available for sale, well, that's what I did. I went and earned revenue to do just that, to try everything under the sun, except the one thing that I was disallowed, like a good boy. Hopefully by telling my story, people will understand the power of a lot of things. There's no one thing that you can point to that has helped me. They were all steps. It's not the being, anything, that gets you healed. It's the doing. It's the doing anything. Being is just your facade. That's what you're trying to sell me. Doing. That's who you are. And I don't know, maybe it's just a midlife crisis, you know? But I feel like it's kind of unique. I feel like it's a good starting point, a good cautionary tale that maybe people will listen to, a few. And I'm here to show you what is possible and where the research is. So, all right, with that, there's somebody here. I need to stop recording.